Amen. Today I'll begin a new series of messages that will come out of Ephesians, and so I invite you to take your Bibles today and turn to Ephesians, the second chapter. You may just want to listen to the words as I read them and allow them to speak to your hearts today. May our hearts and our minds be open to the Word of God to us and how the Holy Spirit speaks to us today. Ephesians chapter 2, I'll read from verse 1 to verse 5. Next Sunday, Josh will be preaching. We'll be on a mission trip to Ashland, Kentucky. And a number of us, I think about 10 of us, are going to be on a mission trip. And so Jack and I will be gone, but Josh will be here and he'll lead in worship and share with us from God's Word next week. So I encourage you to be here and support him and encourage him as we worship together next week. We won't be here in body, but we'll definitely be here in spirit. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Paul writes, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and fulfilling its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that we have been saved." Amen. I'm beginning a new message series entitled "Christ Alive in Me." We've just celebrated Jesus' resurrection, and it was a tremendous Sunday last week as we gathered together. Some gathered at 7:15 for the sunrise service, and then the rest of us at 10 o'clock. But the Lord was with us and blessed our time together. It was great joy in our gathering last week. But it doesn't end there. The power and truth of Jesus' resurrection remains and is intended, I believe, to gain momentum in our lives day by day. Jesus Christ continues to live, not only at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, but Christ lives in me. Christ is alive in you. Jesus Christ comes to abide in us, listen now, when we accept him by faith as Lord and Savior. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 10 that if we confess with our mouths Jesus as Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Confessing Jesus is your Lord, believing that he is alive, receiving his life in you. For many, this saving relationship with Jesus begins in the hearts of children and young people. For others, it's a growing awareness of who Jesus Christ is, and then their salvation comes later as adults. Whether younger or older, a believer in Jesus grows in their spiritual life. It's not just a moment in time decision to accept Jesus as Savior and Lord. That moment of salvation should become a daily walk with Jesus Christ that is growing and deepening. Think about it this way. Think about it as spiritual growth that is both wide and deep. So in our walks with Christ, we are growing wider and deeper. You remember that old song, "Deep and Wide." It's a song that I learned in church as a child. It seems like we sang it all the time in vacation Bible school. But "Wide and Deep" talks about the kind of growing relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. It is not just a moment in time where Jesus becomes our Lord and Savior. It also includes a deepening and widening, growing relationship with Jesus. Yes, Jesus Christ saves us from sin and death, but Jesus Christ as our Lord takes a place of priority in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives. Again, Jesus saves both young and old, and Jesus takes a place of priority in both young and old. That's what it means for Jesus Christ to be our Lord. He takes the place of priority in our life. He becomes our Lord. In my estimation, this is the greatest challenge the church faces in our culture today. Believers allowing Jesus to be Lord of their lives, every area of their lives, every day of their life, in every decision that they make, in how they order their priorities, in their work, in their relationships, in their passions, in their contributions to the world. Jesus Christ as Lord. He identifies me. He defines me. He characterizes me. He guides me. He shapes me into the person he wants me to be. He identifies me. As a Christ follower, I am identified by Christ's life in me. In our world, it seems as if we take the prerogative ourselves to identify ourselves as we see fit. But as a Christ follower, I am identified not as I choose, but as Christ identifies me and as his life in me comes alive. Christ identifies me. When we become Christ-following believers, we must understand that there is an old self. This is how the New Testament describes it. There is an old self that dies. Quite literally, an old self that dies. You can think about it as old behaviors. You can think about it as old passions, old identities, old thoughts, old vices, old ways, old sin. You get the picture, right? That old self. Sometimes, if we were honest, we would say we work a little hard to keep that old self alive, to keep it on life support, so to speak. But Jesus causes that old self to die. It dies. So in the Christian faith, in the Christian experience, there really is a death. We celebrated Jesus' resurrection from the dead last week. But in our lives as Christians, there really is a kind of dying of ourselves. Last week, I mentioned a powerful quote from Paul. Paul writes this, "We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." You see, the Christian faith does not just teach a death. There is a dying so that there can be new life. And in Christ Jesus, we have a new life. Listen again to the description of the old self in Ephesians. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." All of us So it's not just Paul pointing the finger at somebody else. He says all of us were like that. All of us lived at one time gratifying the cravings of our flesh, of our humanity, following its desires and its thoughts. It's almost like our humanity is a driving force in our lives. And as Jesus comes in, it's like Jesus is wanting in some way to counter that human sinful drive in us that leads to death. And Jesus has a way for us that leads to life. He, Jesus, identifies me. Even for believers today, we let that old self, the cravings of our flesh, as Paul says, define our identity, define who we like and what we do. We allow that old self to define our priorities. We even allow that old self to define what our futures look like. Paul says approaching it that way puts us at odds with Jesus Christ. Allowing our old selves to identify us so strongly puts us at odds with Jesus Christ in us. So that Paul describes it this way: when we allow our old selves to define us, we are really at odds with God. And so Paul says this: we put ourselves at risk of God's judgment. Paul uses the word God's wrath. So God hates sin. I didn't say God hates sinners. I said God hates sin. You know why? Because sin brings damage and death to us. And it undoes and it destroys what God desires to do in us and in this world. So God hates sin. And when we allow our old selves to define who we are, then that puts us at odds with what God is doing and wants to do in us. And so then we can sometimes find ourselves as falling under God's judgment because God cannot bless sin. Us determining what identifies us puts us in the place of God. It puts us in the place that only Jesus Christ deserves. So, the old self, or who I was, must submit to Jesus Christ when we become believers in Him. So the old self submits to the new self in Christ, or who it is that I am becoming. That is when Christ really begins to live in us. When we submit to Jesus Christ being Lord in our lives, that is when Jesus Christ becomes alive in us. When we submit to Jesus Christ being Lord in our lives, that is when Jesus Christ becomes alive in us. We all spend probably way too much time sitting in front of a computer screen. As a matter of fact, I can blame the fact that I wear glasses today probably on the fact that I've sat in front of a computer screen way too much. And all of the apps that I enjoy spending time with that either waste my time or bless my time. Behind that app is someone who knows how to write code to cause that app to work and to operate in the right kind of way. Behind it is someone who has written code. And that code is what makes the app work. If you didn't have a code writer, you wouldn't have an app. Well, God wants to work in you and in me in a similar way. Working in us, in a way kind of behind the scenes or down in us. Working in us to guide us and to guide us to live our lives for Him. But because of His great love for us, Paul writes, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you are saved. God wants to make us alive to new life in Christ. And as long as we seek to identify our own selves as we see fit, we will always miss out on the new life that Christ has for us. He does not just want to rubber stamp your life and my life. God does not just serve as one who affirms all of our choices. He is not just someone who gives his approval of the things that we approve of. God wants to make us alive to new life in Christ. And he wants to work in our lives to form and fashion us as he sees fit. It is Christ alive in me. He identifies me. It's not the other way around. And in our world today, we've got it mixed up. We've determined that we are the ones who have the prerogative to define ourselves and to identify ourselves as we see fit. And that puts us in the place of being the God of our lives. The truth is that when we come to Christ and place faith in him, we say that it's kind of a free thing. It doesn't cost you anything to come to Christ. But let me be honest. To come to Christ and to receive from him all of the blessings of grace and mercy and love that is lavished upon us, the glory and wonder and hope of eternal life, that death does not have the final say for us. None of that goodness is free. First of all, it costs Christ his very life on the cross as he laid it down for you and for me. But also, as weighty as that, is that it costs us, all of us. When we come to Christ, we really do lay our lives aside to take up his life that now is alive in us. So do not let the world that we live in confuse us as believers as to who it is that defines us. It will always be Jesus Christ who identifies you and me if we are followers of his and believers in him. If we place our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, God wants to make us alive to new life in Christ. Now, I want to just come to a close today by just calling attention to who we become when we submit to Christ in us and when Christ is alive in us. And so just working through chapter 1 of Ephesians, I just jotted down all of the ways that Christ becomes alive in us and how Christ's life in us identifies us in a new and fresh way. So let me pull my phone out here and pull up my app and share some of these with you. We can all identify that old self. We don't have to have a marker board up here and with a bunch of bullet points to describe our old selves. That wouldn't be profitable for anybody. You really don't want Brian. Brian doesn't have a whole lot of good to offer. What you really want is Brian in Christ. That's when it all begins to change for the good. And so as I'm able to submit to Christ more and more, He's able to work something in me that is more than anything I could ever do or hope to do. Who am I in Christ? All of these are in chapter 1 of Ephesians. You can take time to read these and just let them rest on you and rest in you. Who am I in Christ? I'm a saint. I'm faithful. I'm blessed. We are chosen. We are holy. We're blameless. This is who we are in Christ. When Christ is alive in us, we're predestined. We're adopted. We're recipients of grace. Who are we when Christ identifies us? We're redeemed. We're forgiven. We're rich. And we're rich with wisdom and understanding. Who are we because Christ is alive in us? We're aware of His will. We're the first to hope. We are the praise of His glory. Who are we because Christ's life is alive in us? We are included in truth and in salvation. We are believers sealed with the Holy Spirit. He goes on in chapter 2, and I'm not going to get too far into chapter 2 because Josh is going to preach on that next week, but I'll touch on it a little bit. Who are we because Christ's life is alive in us? We are loved. We're alive with Christ. We're saved. We're raised up with Christ. We're seated with Christ in the heavenlies. We're rich with Christ's kindness. We're saved by faith. We are God's workmanship. We are created for God's good works that have already been established long before we ever existed. God established good works for us to live out and to accomplish because Christ is alive in us. So don't let this old world fool you that you can identify yourself as you see fit and ever be guaranteed of any fulfillment or peace or joy or life. This old world will always do nothing but lie to us. But listen to Jesus when He says, "Let me live in you and through you. Let me be alive in you." And let Jesus identify you and me. That will not always be an easy task. As a matter of fact, Peter says in 1 Peter that when Christ is alive in us and lives His life through us, we will always be aliens and strangers in this world. We really are sojourners, just passing through. This is not our home. We have a heavenly home that we are headed toward. Christ alive in us. He identifies me. May it be so. May it be so. Lord Jesus, this day, we as your people sit and stand before you humbly. And we submit to you, Lord, again today. Lord, I need to say it because yesterday, I don't know if I was even aware that I needed to submit to you. But today, Lord, I am very aware. that I need to submit my life to you and let you live your life in me. And so, Lord, you have your way. You have your way, Lord, in me and in each one of us. You have your way, Lord, in this church of yours. You have your way as you identify us in this world. And as we shine your light, Lord Jesus, brightly in this world. While we're still in an attitude of prayer, I want to just ask a couple of questions. How is your old self giving way and submitting to your new self in Christ? How is it that Jesus Christ can be more fully alive in you and in me? The first step is to confess, believe, and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your life. This begins to get the order right. Jesus Christ first. The next step, Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. Jesus Christ is first. So we submit to His way. He identifies me. And in submitting, we become learners of Jesus Christ. We learn His words. We learn His ways. We learn His will. We learn His workmanship in us. And as we learn of Him, we grow deeper and we grow wider in our lives, in our spiritual lives. Lord, might you work in us today. Might you prevail in us today. And Lord, might you identify us as yours in this world today. In your name, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen.